Our scripture reading tonight, we will read the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, but let's turn back a few pages to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, preaching on one of the fruits of the Spirit tonight. In Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And now in connection with that fifth fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, let's read together Ephesians chapter 4. And our text will be the last two verses of this chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then these final two verses will be our text tonight. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And thus far we read God's holy and inspired word. May God add his blessing to his word. Beloved congregation, in our Lord Jesus Christ, some time ago in my own church I preached a series on the fruits of the Spirit as they are listed for us in Galatians chapter 5. And now I draw your attention to the fact that first in the introduction that these are fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit being the third person of the Holy Trinity. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to make us partakers of all those blessings of salvation that Jesus Christ has merited for us. So that Jesus died on the cross, having merited for us all of those blessings of salvation, he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. But now the question is, but how do we get all those blessings of salvation that Jesus died to earn for us? How do we receive them? And the answer is, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. God having given the gift of the Spirit to Jesus upon his ascension, so that now the Spirit is Christ's Spirit, and Jesus pours out that Spirit upon his church, and the Spirit brings with him all those blessings of salvation that Jesus has merited for you and for me. And let's remember that list that we read in Galatians 5, that these are called the fruit of the Spirit. These spiritual graces, therefore, do not originate from within man. The source of this good spiritual fruit is not found within man. And then even further, our bearing this fruit is not some joint effort between us and the Holy Spirit laboring together so that we bring forth this fruit. No, this is all the work of the Holy Spirit. These are the fruits of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit now working in such a way, working upon our willing and upon our desiring, so that now it becomes our will and it becomes our desire to bring forth this fruit. But always and everywhere, these are the fruits of the Spirit. So that without the Spirit, we would be lost. Without the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to do any good. We would not be able to bring forth any good fruit whatsoever. Thanks be to our Savior who pours out his Spirit upon the church and thereby makes us fruitful in his kingdom. And tonight we consider that fifth fruit of the Holy Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and then gentleness. And the connection between that fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, and the text tonight in Ephesians chapter 4, the last two verses, is this, that in verse 32, that word gentleness of the fruit of the Spirit is the same word that's translated kind. In verse 32 of Ephesians 4, and be ye kind one to another. So that in the course of the sermon, I'll be using those two words interchangeably. The gentleness, which is the fifth fruit of the Holy Spirit, and kindness. And so here is where we ask ourselves these questions concerning this fruit of the Spirit: gentleness, kindness. Husbands and fathers, are you kind and gentle? Is this the impression that others have of you after seeing you interact with your family and with your children, so that they say, that man is very kind. He has such a tender heart. And then children, are you gentle and kind? Are you gentle and kind in your interaction with your brothers and sisters and with your playmates as well? That doesn't mean that you may roughhouse every once in a while, as little boys and little children are wont to do, but are you, children, considerate of others with whom you play? Are you willing to let brother and sister play with a toy before me? And are you eager to make sure that your classmate isn't left out and that I'm willing to let him or her take my place? Are you kind? Are you gentle? And for all of us, are we angry and bitter and harsh with the words that we use and with the looks that we cast, or do we follow in the footsteps of Christ, who himself was gentle and kind, gentle in all that he did for his people? And so I call your attention to these last two verses in Ephesians chapter 4. This is the fifth fruit of the Spirit: gentleness. The theme of the sermon is, be ye kind one to another. Let's note in the first place the gentleness that's required. Secondly, the source of this virtue. And then finally, its supreme demonstration. There is one particular way that we show this fruit of the Spirit. Be ye kind one to another. The fifth fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. To be gentle is that inner spiritual grace and virtue that is kind and considerate to the neighbor, and therefore is opposed to every harsh and bitter way. We have that contrast set forth in Ephesians 4. Verse 31 says what we ought not to be doing, and then verse 33 sets forth the positive. But verse 31, this is what gentleness, this is what kindness is not. And that's why we ought to put all of these away, all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking with all malice. Let's quickly understand what those words mean. To be bitter means to be resentful and envious. Wrath speaks of uncontrollable rage and anger. And then that word anger, that's a word of wanting to hurt someone and seeking revenge upon someone. Clamor, which is angry and shoutful speaking. And then that word evil speaking, which is literally blasphemy. Blasphemy, now using our words not only to blaspheme against God, but with the intent to hurt the neighbor. And then finally that word malice. Malice speaks of behavior, whatever kind of behavior, but behavior that is designed to damage and to hurt the neighbor, either physically or to damage and hurt the reputation of the neighbor. These are all words, therefore, that have to do with anger and rage and destruction. And now take all of those words in verse 31 and take all of that sinful behavior and envision that husband and father in the home who is like that. He is always angry. His fist is always clenched. His teeth are always grinding. He may not physically hurt his family members, but he makes very clear that you better not cross his path unless you want to be on the receiving end of his anger. Take all of those words of verse 31. Take all of that sinful behavior and imagine the mother in the home who is like that, always raising her voice in frustration against her husband, against her children, using insulting language, getting in her digs, cutting down her husband for not loving her enough, for not helping her out enough, to the children, for not appreciating her enough in all that she does. Take all these words, take all that sinful behavior of verse 31, and imagine the children in the home who behave like that. A child who makes fun of mom and dad behind their back, who makes fun of their brothers and sisters and others besides, doesn't care about brothers and sisters, but finding new ways to hurt and insult them. And that's what all these words in verse 31 are speaking of. That man, that woman, that child who is so filled with hostility and anger and rage, and when you take out that hostility and anger on the neighbor with the purpose of hurting them, cutting them down, and destroying them. And now notice that I said specifically, when you and when I take our anger and frustration out on the neighbor in those ways, because the Word of God here in Ephesians 4:31 isn't setting before us a hypothetical situation. Can you imagine what that would be like if such a person were filled with that type of anger and rage and how that would display itself in their lives? No. But verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking with all malice, put it away. This is something that's true of us even as God's people. This is true of us. And now stop doing it and put it away. And so the Word of God comes to us and confronts us tonight as a congregation, as individuals. In what way am I as a husband behaving in bitterness and wrath towards my family? In what way am I as a wife being angry and shouting with my words, either verbally or in my mind? In what way am I as a child or a young person using my words in a bad way to hurt and harm the neighbor? And in what ways are we as members of the body of Jesus Christ, even as members of this church, as members of our denomination, exhibiting bitterness and wrath and anger against each other, together with evil speaking and malice? We need to examine our hearts and our lives. And the Word of God says, put all that away and stop doing that and repent. And do the opposite. Do the opposite. The positive, then, is this. And this is the fifth fruit of the Holy Spirit. And here, Ephesians 4, verse 32, and be ye kind. And remember, that's the word gentleness. Be kind one to another, and tender-hearted. And that word tender-hearted simply means having a heart of compassion. And now those two words, kind and tender-hearted, go hand in hand, and that's what gentleness is all about. Kind, a heart of compassion, caring. And here you think of the godly mother in the home, a kind, caring, compassionate mother who is cradling her newborn infant. She is very careful how she handles and how she holds her baby, and she takes care to hold and to cradle that baby in such a good and gentle way. And when the baby does fuss a bit, does mother get angry and shout and become violent to her child? Not at all, but she speaks soothing words into her child's ears and takes her soft hands and caresses the cheek of her baby. But in all of mother's interactions with her little child, but she is so kind, she is so caring, and she is so gentle. She is not harsh and bitter and violent, but caring and compassionate. And now that's an earthly illustration to help us understand what this spiritual fruit is all about. To bring forth this fruit of gentleness, kindness, compassion, tenderheartedness. It means that we have a great love for one another in the body of Jesus Christ. It means that we are in tune to one another's needs, that we look out and that we are eager to help, to assist, to encourage. It's the wisdom of being long-suffering with regards to others and being careful and gentle in all of our dealings with the neighbor, such as our love for the neighbor, that we will behave ourselves in such a gentle way. Jesus speaks a parable about one who is very loving and kind and gentle. That's the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. You children, you know that parable, that there was a Jew who left Jerusalem, and on his way outside of Jerusalem, he fell into the hand of robbers, and those robbers stole all that he had. They beat him and left him for dead. And then when two other Jews come by, who otherwise we would think should and would have helped him, a priest and a Levite, but they did not. But a man who we would least expect to help that Jew, a Samaritan, came by, and he saw that man, had compassion on him, and tended to him, and put him on his own donkey, brought him to the inn, told the inn master, take care of this man, and I will be back tomorrow, and I will pay you whatever it costs you to take care of him. That's the spirit of gentleness, kindness, and compassion. And Jesus says at the end of that parable, and go, do thou likewise. Be gentle and kind and tender-hearted. Well, we ask the question, who are to be the objects of this care and compassion and gentleness on our part? Well, the text answers that question, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another. One to another. So that in the first place, this is speaking of the household of faith. This is speaking of those who are fellow members in the body of Jesus Christ. So that we are not reckless with our words, and we do not see it to be our duty to go and tell other members off, but we listen. And we don't turn a blind eye to the needs of others, but in compassion we reach out in whatever way we can. We're gentle and compassionate when we interact with others, even though it might be my Christian liberty to do this or that or the other thing, and yet in the presence of the weaker brother, I will refrain from doing that. That's being gentle. That's being kind. That's how we ought to behave one another, towards one another in the body of Jesus Christ. In the second place, when we're kind to one another, we're also kind to those within our own households, as husbands, as wives, as children. And so for you husbands and fathers, you as the heads of the home, in a very special way, are called to be caring and kind and gentle. And if you roll your eyes, and if you say, that's the mother's duty, that's not me, I'm the enforcer, I'm the one who disciplines, then you are dead wrong, and you have become nothing but a cold, hard tyrant in the home. And if you become a tyrant in the home, then there will not be peace and unity in the home, but only a family who is scared of Father because of the punishments that he divvies out. Fathers, you too are called to be kind and gentle in your interactions with your family. And then also for fathers and mothers, you are called to exhibit this kind of kindness and compassion in your relationship to the children. You set rules in the home for your children, but you don't place rules upon them that they're not able to bear. But by your good behavior and your words and your actions, you show that you are no hypocrite, but that you expect of them the same godly behavior that you show as parents. And with consistent discipline, you train up a child in the way that he should go. Gentleness and kindness is required in our homes. But then in the third place, who are the objects of our gentleness and kindness? We are even called to be kind to our enemies. So that Jesus himself says, Matthew 5, verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Luke chapter 6, verse 35 says that we ought to be kind to the unthankful and to the evil, so that even when I purpose to help somebody else out, and when I follow through with that good action, and even when there's no prospect of that person saying thanks, even when there's no prospect of that person even appreciating in the least what I did for him or for her, I'm still kind, still compassionate, still gentle. Now, to be sure, being gentle and kind and displaying this fifth fruit of the Holy Spirit, this does not mean that we will overlook sin and that we will turn a blind eye to sinful behavior. Does not mean that we ignore sin or that we behave like that old man Eli in the Old Testament, who, when word came to him that his sons had sinned, Hophni and Phinehas, when they had sinned in a very gross way of transgressing the seventh commandment, and all he said to them was, "Why are you doing this, my sons? You know it's not a good report that I hear of you." And when he didn't go and rebuke them and speak words of and discipline them, that was Eli. Kindness and gentleness is never opposed to speaking words of rebuke when the brother or sister is walking in sin. But on the contrary, kindness addresses that sin. Kindness calls to repentance, because that kindness is rooted in a love for the neighbor and for his welfare, and we don't want to see the neighbor stumble about in his sins and hurt himself even more, so that we address that sin and we call to repentance. Kindness and gentleness never tolerates sin, but addresses that sin for the well-being of the neighbor. And what a great spiritual virtue then this is. Gentleness and kindness. By nature, you and I are not this way. And that's why this is a fruit of the Spirit. God must give us the Holy Spirit and give us and work in us this fruit of gentleness. But God gives it to us because God ultimately is the source of this spiritual grace. If God were not a gentle, caring, compassionate Father, then there would be no prospect for us to be gentle and caring one for another. And we learn then here that God himself is the God of love. and that he loves himself within the three persons of the Holy Trinity. The Father loving the Son loving the Father, the Spirit being that breath of love that proceeds from the Father to the Son and from the Son to the Father. And this is the way that God also reveals himself to his people then, that God reveals himself to us as a loving, gentle, caring heavenly Father. So that think, for example, of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. And there we have that illustration of Jesus, of God being our shepherd. Isaiah 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. But what a tender, loving Father that we have. When we are hungry and when we are in need of nourishment, as a good shepherd, he comes. He leads us in the green pastures of his word. He gives unto us everything that we need for the body and everything that we need for the soul. He's our tender shepherd. And Isaiah 40, verse 11 says that he shall gather the lambs with his arm. What a gentle way to think of our Heavenly Father. He gathers the lambs with his arm. The strongest arm that there ever is. An arm that could crush anything and everything in this world. And God extends his arm, he gathers the lambs, and they're not destroyed, they're not hurt, and they're not wounded, but they are cared for, and they are nourished. This is the strong, powerful Father and the shepherd we have, who is gentle and kind and compassionate with all his sheep and with all those lambs. And I mentioned that verse just a bit ago, Luke 6, verse 35, that we ought to be kind to the unthankful and to the evil. But it says that we ought to do that because God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. No, not that God is kind to the ungodly and to the reprobate. God is never kind to them, not showing kindness to the ungodly in giving them so many gifts, giving them so many earthly possessions, but that is God putting them in slippery places so that they will be without excuse and so that they will fall to their own destruction. But when God is kind, as Luke 6, verse 35 says, to the unthankful and evil, he's being kind to you and to me. And then you think of that verse in Romans 5, but God commendeth his love to us so that while we were yet sinners and while we were yet the enemies of God, Christ died for us. And God has shown unto us the greatest kindness when we were least deserving of it. God showing unto us compassion when we were in the midst of our miseries and in our sins, and God dealt with that misery and sin. He didn't turn a blind eye to it and said, well, I'm such a kind father, I'll just ignore it. But in his kindness, he dealt with it, sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, to lift us up in his mercy out of all of our sins and out of all of our misery. This is the source of this spiritual virtue. Jehovah God is a gentle, caring, compassionate Father. And then we see then not simply God the Father who is gentle and kind, but we see this virtue in Jesus Christ. So kind, so gentle. Yes, Jesus also spoke harsh words of warning and judgment to the ungodly. So that you read Matthew chapter 23 with all of the woes that Jesus pronounces upon the scribes, upon the Pharisees, but to his own people, Jesus is gentle and compassionate. And you think of Jesus' dealings with that woman that was brought before him, who was caught in the very act of adultery. The Pharisees were very cold and harsh and bitter against her. And they really didn't care about her at all. They just wanted to use her to further their agenda against Jesus. But Jesus was gentle and kind, forgiving her sins. Jesus did not condemn her, but he said, "Go and sin no more." Jesus was always very gentle and kind with his disciples. And you think of all the patient and gentle instruction that Jesus gave the disciples during the course of his earthly ministry, plainly telling them who he was, what must happen to him, that he must suffer and die, and that he would be raised again on the third day. And time again, the disciples didn't get it. They didn't understand, and sometimes it so irritated them so that Peter took Jesus aside and said, "Jesus, don't speak that way. You're not speaking right. These things aren't going to happen to you." And yet Jesus was so gentle and kind with them. Jesus didn't retaliate against them when they forsook him and fled in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when Peter denied him three times, and there in the court of the high priest, Peter just sinning against his Lord, and Jesus looking on him, did Jesus look on him with eyes filled with anger and hatred, but with eyes of love and compassion for his wayward sheep? And such was the kindness and gentleness of Jesus that once Jesus arose from the dead, he made a special appearance to Peter to restore him to the work of the apostle and for the work of the ministry. The source of this virtue is in God as we see it displayed in Jesus Christ. And now we are called to reflect this gentleness and this kindness in all our dealings with the neighbor. But now we come to a sort of problem. And the sort of problem is this, that if this gentleness and kindness and compassion is shown by us dealing very charitably with the neighbor, well, what about the world? And what about the behavior of the world as we look around ourselves? Because I suppose even the world can demonstrate in an outward way this virtue of gentleness and kindness. And there are so many ungodly, unregenerate people in the world who, from a certain point of view, are kind and considerate. They are good workers. They will go out of their way to help you. They will sacrifice of their own money and time to help out people who are in distress. And some of them even teach their children to be kind and respect their elders. When we do those things, then we are displaying this fifth fruit of the Holy Spirit, gentleness and kindness. When the ungodly do the same things, are they too being kind and compassionate, and therefore reflecting this communicable attribute of God? And now I trust you see what the problem is. If we do those things only by the grace of God working in us, then what of the unbelievers who do the same things, at least outwardly? Does that mean that they too, in some way, shape, or form, are the recipients of the grace of God? And does that mean that they are some recipients of some common grace? And to that question, we answer with a resounding no. The ungodly are never the recipients of God's grace, even when they perform deeds that are outwardly kind and generous. And yet the Word of God is very clear that always the wrath of God abideth upon the ungodly. And yet the ungodly perform so many outwardly good and gentle and charitable deeds. What's the difference? What's the difference between our acts of kindness and the ungodly when they perform the same outward acts? And the difference is in motivation. What is it that motivates us to be kind? Well, it's the Holy Spirit that Jesus pours out upon his church. Which Spirit Jesus does not pour out upon the ungodly? Christ has given unto us the Spirit. But then we can say this too, that it's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts that motivates us to be the kind of Christians that God has called us to be, a love for God and a love for the neighbor, so that when we go out in our lives and when we perform acts of kindness, we are showing how much we love God for what he has first done to us in covering all of our sins, giving us all the blessings of salvation. And we love our Heavenly Father, we love our Savior, and we show kindness in our life as a way of saying thanks for the kindness that God has first shown unto us. But the ungodly and the wicked and the impenitent, the ungodly don't perform acts of kindness from that motivation, out of a love for God, a deep love for the neighbor. It's the motivation of pride, that my kindness will help out other people and people will recognize me. They will praise me for it. It's good for my reputation. It makes me feel better about myself. It makes me think that I'm not so bad after all. And the point is this, is that whatever the reason why the ungodly perform their acts of kindness and gentleness, it's never out of a love for God. And it's never out of a love for the neighbor and that God's name be glorified, so that in the final day, when they stand before the Lord of heaven and of earth, and all of their deeds and all of their actions and all of their motivations will be exposed before the Lord of heaven and of earth, and the Lord will condemn them for it, because in it they gave not God the glory, and they love themselves instead of loving the ever-living God. The only source of us being kind and gentle is that God work it in us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And for the supreme demonstration of gentleness and kindness, we turn to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in his compassion for you and for me. He died for us. He laid down his life. In his love for us, he could not see us going on in our sins and in our miseries. He could have left us in our sins and miseries, and God would have done no injustice if he would have left the entire human race in its misery, but in kindness and love and compassion for us, our Savior took upon himself all of our sins and bore that punishment of God in our place and for our salvation. And so I say the supreme demonstration of kindness, because he gave his very life. In his kindness to us, our Savior did not give a little. It wasn't that he was just being nice to us. It wasn't that our Savior was being thoughtful and performed some nice, courteous deed for us, but he sacrificed his life. He gave everything. And that's why I say that this is the supreme act of kindness. And in doing so, he forgave all of our sins, washed them all away, blotted them all out. And that's our salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ forgave our sins. Such was his kindness and his gentleness towards us. Well, beloved, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? Well, it means this. What is the kindest and most gentle thing that you can envision yourself performing? Maybe some of you say, maybe making a nice big meal for another family in the congregation who really needs it. And that's good. Maybe it's babysitting for that family and taking all of their children under the roof of my house for a few days because they have some urgent thing that they have to deal with. And that will be my act of compassion. And that's well, and that's fine. And for you children, what's the kindest thing that you can envision yourself performing? Maybe helping out mom and dad and doing my chores without them telling me to do it first. Being kind to my brothers and sisters and to my classmates and say, absolutely. But now, what about a great work of kindness? So that I will help out that struggling family by paying their grocery bill. Not once, but twice. I will help out that other family by securing them another vehicle when they are in need. What about this? I have an ability. I'm a builder, I'm a plumber, I'm an electrician, or what have you, and I will use my talents to help out those who especially need me in that way. And to be sure, those are all acts of kindness. And in doing so, we show care and compassion. And let's continue doing those things. And the Word of God says, continue in that. Be ye kind one to another. And yet, that's not the greatest act of compassion and kindness that we could show, great as those things may be. What's the supreme demonstration in our lives? And here it doesn't matter if you are very old or very young, if you are married or if you are single. The supreme demonstration of this fifth fruit of the Holy Spirit, being gentle, is when you and I have opportunity to say to one another, I forgive you. I forgive you. And that's what the Bible says. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. And now how will you show that kindness? By forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, kindness and gentleness forgives. Kindness says, I won't hold that sin against you. I can't. How can I? My Savior has shown such kindness to me in forgiving my sins, and I forgive yours. And that forgiveness of one another becomes something then that characterizes my entire life. It's not only speaking about that one instance where somebody sins against me and they come and say, I'm sorry, and I say, I forgive you. That's included. But now this forgiveness is something that characterizes my entire life so that I am a forgiving person. That's the kindness and tenderness coming out when people make mistakes and errors and acknowledge their shortcomings. Then I am ready and willing to forgive, even at times when others sin against me and it hurts me and I become sorrowful because of what they've done, and yet I forgive. I forgive. This is the fifth fruit of the Holy Spirit, gentleness and kindness. And this is the word of God to us tonight as a congregation, to us as a denomination, the fifth fruit of the Spirit, gentleness and kindness. And may God give unto us such a measure of His Spirit so that we put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking with all malice. And that, as verse 32 says, that we be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has shown such kindness to you and has forgiven you. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. Apply it unto our hearts. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us to make us to be Christians who exhibit in our life all these fruits of the Spirit, and especially this grace of kindness and gentleness. Guard our tongue in all of our dealings with the neighbor. Give unto us a love for Thee and a love for the neighbor, and that in all of our dealings with the neighbor, we show ourselves to be gentle, and that we forgive one another, even as Thou for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. To Thee be all glory, honor, and praise, both now and forevermore. Amen.